I'm going to welcome Marshall Wallace to the stage, and he's going to share a little bit about what God's been doing in his life tonight.
Hello. Am I on? All right, so I'm just going to share with you guys just a little bit about what God's been doing in my heart this summer. I worked at a camp this past month called Fast Camp, and what it stands for is it stands for fun, art, skill, and truth. And so what it is we work through different elementary schools in the Oklahoma City area, in the kind of rougher areas. And what we do is we'll bus them out to Crystal Lake, which is off I-40 in MacArthur. And then basically we just teach them different outdoor skills. And so they may do archery, canoeing, kayaking, biking, fishing, just stuff that they wouldn't have the opportunity to do otherwise. And so we teach them all those things. But through everything we do, we really try and point them to Christ, because not a lot of them go to churches. They're not from kind of church backgrounds, and so we really want to be influences in their lives. And so as a counselor, we had a theme verse, and it was Hebrews 12:1. I'm going to pull it up real quick. And so it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right-hand throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So that was really important for us this summer, just because we were, as counselors, we were all Christians, and it's kind of a Christian camp. We don't really, like, say that, but, I mean, we do, but all the counselors are Christians and have strong faith. And so since we're all Christians, that's kind of the great cloud of witnesses. And so we'd really just emphasize just being a light to these kids. And so it was really awesome to see just the way, like, my faith was, like, strengthened by that, but also my faith was strengthened by the way the other counselors interacted with the kids, and just seeing, like, the love of God through everything they did. It was just super encouraging for me to watch. And so we actually got a lead. I think it was around 15 kids to Christ this summer, which was awesome. And then another verse. Oh, yeah, sure, you can clap. Let's see. There's another verse that I wanted to share with you guys. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. Hold on. I'm almost there. There it is. It's Colossians 4:5. It's, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." So that was kind of one I stumbled across just in my own quiet time. And I feel like God really led that to me, considering what I was doing with the camp. And so I just really want to encourage you guys with everything you do. You never know who's watching, and so you don't want to give them the wrong idea about what we are as Christians and who Christ is through the way we act. And so just really encourage you guys to have a Christ mindset, and just in everything you do, try and point it back to him. And so that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Marshall. Hey, my hope is that we would be able to ask any of you guys what God is doing in your life, and that you'd be able to say what God is doing in your life, because hopefully God is working and moving in all of our lives, and if it's not, then that's a problem. So let me hop up here real quick, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Luke, okay? So we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Tonight we're finally out of the Old Testament, okay? So we've been going through the grand narrative of Scripture, and so we trudged along and hit the top stories of the Old Testament. We're finally in the New Testament, and we're talking about a birth today, okay? Something people were excited about. In fact, it got a whole city excited about this birth, and since we're in the New Testament, and we're talking about an exciting birth, who are we talking about today? The birth of... Nope, wrong. John the Baptist, okay? So a little bit of an unexpected twist. We're not talking about the birth of Christ. We're talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And frankly, I realized in studying this passage how little I knew about the story of John the Baptist. A huge character, a monumental figure in church history. And I'm surprised at how little we know about him. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 57, okay? And we'll break it down from there. So it reads, verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Now let me stop there for a second. Let me set it up for you. So Elizabeth and Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, they are super old, okay? So the reason people are excited about the birth of this baby is because these are some old people having a baby. And this is a big deal, okay? This was unexpected. In fact, when an angel had told Zacharias that they were going to have a baby, he was like, no, we're not, right? We're too old. That's impossible. Boom, he became a mute after that. He can't talk anymore. He's now deaf. They're having to sign things to him. So that's how big of a deal it was. The town is buzzing about the news that they are going to have a baby that we would know would be John the Baptist, okay? So there's a lot of buzz around this birth. I've got to admit, as a dude, babies are not really that exciting to me. I don't get all that like, oh, baby, you know, I kind of get a little nervous, actually. I think I'm going to break it if I hold it, so I don't want to touch it. You guys ever been, how many of you have watched a sibling be born? How many of you had a little brother or sister? Anybody? Some of you? You ever been excited about the birth? Man, people lose their everlasting minds over the birth of babies, okay? I remember when Princess, Kate and William had the heir to the throne, the baby, Charles. Man, the nation just went absolutely insane. We don't even have a king and queen. We were going crazy. When Kate and John had their eighth baby, like Kate and plus eight, right? John and Kate plus eight, makes sense. Everyone's like, they're going to get their own show. This is exciting. This is awesome. People get excited about the births of babies. It's a big deal. Dudes kind of have a little bit of a harder time understanding, unless you're a dad, right? Dads all the time, like, cry when they witness the birth of their children. I know my sister and I, see, when I think of babies, I think of my sister and I, so I have a twin, and we were just kind of a handful. When mom would set us down on the couch, she would put shoes on me, and then she would go to put shoes on my sister, and by the time she got done tying the shoes on my sister, and she came back to me, I had thrown my shoes off across the room. So she'd go get my shoes, put them back on me, and by the time she'd got me reshoed, my sister had thrown her shoes off across the room. So before I had said my first word, my dad was doing that whole, like, throw you up in the air and catch a game, and which, if you look on YouTube, that's a good way to hit a baby in a ceiling fan, which is not good. So I don't appreciate that. But anyway, dad was doing that whole thing. He's trying to get me to say daddy. He goes, come on, say dada. Say dada, and I was doing some little gargle thing like, meh, you know, trying to say dada, but I couldn't do it. So he'd go, say dada, I'm like, meh, meh, and then I threw up all over him. It was terrible. So that is babies in my mind. Babies are an interesting thing, but people are buzzed about this baby. Like, people are excited that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have this baby. And you have to ask the question, what is so spectacular about the birth, right? Of an individual. What is going on that people get so excited about? That even if I was having a kid, I would get excited about. One thing is this: there are endless possibilities, right, with new life. This baby could grow up to be anything. This baby is starting off with a blank slate. It could grow up and do anything. It could be anything. Who knows what this baby is going to do? There's unlimited potential at the birth of a baby. And that's why when a baby is lost, when somebody loses a child, it's so hard, right? They think of all the things that child could have done, could have grown up to be, could have done for the world. Second thing is this. When there's a baby that's born, I think we get the sense of just how great God is. We get the sense that a miracle has just happened. Where there once was life, or was not life, right? Where there was once nothing, there is now life. Right, there's now something incredible that this baby is going to grow, and it's going to have hands that can do things, and a brain that can think, and a heart that can love, and beautiful eyes and hair and skin, and all of that just says design, right? It says love, and says a miracle has just happened. Where there was once no spirit, right? There was once no thoughts, nothing. There's now something. It's absolutely incredible. And we get the sense that we have just witnessed a miracle, that something incredible has just happened. And so in this very first verse, we see that people are excited about John the Baptist's birth. And it makes me think that somebody was excited about your birth, right? The fact that you are here right now has those same characteristics. When you were born, you had the same unlimited possibilities that John the Baptist had, right? You had the same clean sheet. You had the same, you could be anything, you could grow up, you could do anything that John the Baptist had. You had the same sense of, this is a miracle, right? You were once nothing, you weren't alive, and now you're here. It's incredible. It's absolutely awesome. And so I'm not naive enough to think that we grew up in perfect homes, that maybe a father wasn't there or a mother wasn't there, but somebody is glad you're born. God, who created you, was glad that you were born. So we have this incredible potential for all of us from the very beginning. And even though we're not going to be perfect, right, some of us are going to have hardships. Some of us are going to grow up with physical strain, right? We're not going to be physically perfect. None of us are morally perfect. We all have a heart that bends away from God. We're going to encounter hard times in life. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess things up. There's still that awe and that sense of wonder that at the beginning, things were incredible, right? That we had all this possibility before us. Let's continue on. It says in verse 59, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is going to be called John. Now, that part is just hilarious to me. It's like everyone is trying to name her child for him. They're like, he's going to be named Zechariah. He's going to, the second, he's going to be named this. And the mom has to say, no, he's going to be named John. To me, that's just funny. And what comes next is really even funnier. It says in verse 61, they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to the father. Remember, he's deaf and mute. To find out what he would like to name the child. So he asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. So it's like, okay, mom, we know what you just said. You want his name John. Let's ask dad what he really thinks. And he goes, yeah, his name's going to be John, what mom wants. So that's kind of an interesting passage there. In 64, it says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. The last verse in this passage poses a huge question, a monstrous question. It says, what then is this child going to be? There's all this excitement and buzz surrounding John the Baptist. Right? His parents had him in old age. His dad became a mute when he questioned the angel. And people know John the Baptist, there's something different about this guy. Something's going to happen. And we know that John the Baptist grew into that, right? He fulfilled a lot of that. He was the dude that ate locusts, right, and honey, and he wore unusual clothes. This is the guy that baptized Jesus Christ. And this is the guy that many people, he was so different, mistook for the Messiah. Right? They thought he was the guy that was coming to save them. He was ultimately the guy who lost his head to King Herod. And so John was an example of someone who had the slate before him, right? He had all these possibilities before him. God had a plan for John, and he took advantage of it, right? He was an example of one that lived life in relationship with God and became one that called people to God. He prepared the way for the Messiah. He prepared people for Christ. And as one that was born with incredible excitement around his birth, I'd say that he lived up to it. It's really an incredible thing. So let me ask you this. Do you have the same view of your life that people had of John the Baptist, right? Do you have the same miraculous view of your life? Do you have a buzz kind of about your life? What can I do in relationship with God? What can God use me for in this world? Or are we just average, right? Or are we just existing? Are we just going through this ho-hum existence? Nothing too special, right? Nothing that big is going to happen. Nothing that great is going to happen. Because I got to ask the question, what would happen if we all had that view? What would it look like for an entire youth group of people who was on fire, who was seeking after God, right? Kind of had that buzz, thought we have unlimited potential. We don't know what God could use us for if we just asked him, if we just sought it. What would happen to our youth group? I have a feeling people would be a lot less preoccupied with the next heir to the throne over in England or the eighth child of John and Kate plus eight, and they'd be a little bit more focused on what some students in Bethany were doing, right? What would it look like for us to be doing that? I have a feeling that there would be an incredible stir. Because the sad reality is I think most of us are just existing, right? Most of us are not too concerned about the potential that's out there for God to work in us, right? We're fine with just maybe on Sunday morning showing up and not really letting things sink into our heart, right? Not challenging ourselves, not taking things as seriously as we should. Most of us, I have a feeling, are kind of afraid of it. I think we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone. I think we're so comfortable with where we are that we're afraid what would happen if we asked God to challenge us, right? If we truly wanted God to challenge us. A lot of us say we want to grow closer to God, but we don't really want it. That's the sad reality. When I have wanted to grow closer to God in my life, when I have wanted to root out sin in my life, I've done it, right? God has helped me through it. But the sad reality is we love the comfortableness of our lives. We don't want to be stretched. We don't want to be challenged. We have a hard time caring about those who don't know God. We don't care if we see our friends put down, right? We don't really care too much about those who are sitting by themselves in the cafeteria. It'd be uncomfortable to leave our group of friends to go sit next to them. I have a feeling we don't care as much if parts of our heart are controlled by a certain sin. I think that's the reality of it. We're fooling ourselves if we think we desire God to take control of those things. Because when we do, when we truly want God to unleash the potential that he can do in our lives, I have a feeling he answers it. He goes for it. Many of us, I think, view our lives and the potential and what God can do with us kind of like we view our grades in school. So unless you're borderline 89, 90, right, 79, 80, there comes that point in the semester where you're like, my grade is what it is, right? Okay, so a lot of times you can be like, I have such a high A that I don't even have to show up for this last test and I can still make my A, or I can still pass this class, or my grades are so fried right now, it doesn't matter what I do, there's no coming out of this. I had a friend in college who had that exact same attitude. So we had archaeology class together. He totally bombed the first two tests, stopped showing up after that, and he was a Hispanic guy, and one day I'm sitting in class, and I have another friend who is Hispanic, and he comes, and we had a conversation from earlier, and he wanted to finish the conversation. So he comes, and he sits down next to me in this class, and we're talking. Well, the professor comes in, and he had been handing out the test grades back, and he sees my friend who's Hispanic. So now my professor is really old, and he doesn't see very well, and he really can't hear. And so he thinks this friend is the guy who's been in the class or been skipping the class all year long. So he proceeds to come just absolutely grill him, right? He's like, you need to start coming to class. You need to do better on tests. There's three weeks left in the semester, and you are failing. He's just grilling him. And my friend doesn't know what to do, so he just starts acting like the student. He's like, yes, sir, I'm sorry. I'll do better. I'll start coming to class. I'll retake the test, making all these promises. And it's absolutely hilarious. And what ended up happening was the professor took roll, and my friend obviously felt obligated to stay because he just got grilled by this professor, and it would look really bad on the friend that was actually in the class to get up and leave, so he sat through a two-hour archaeology class that he didn't even sign up for. So it was funny. My friend had that same view, but the reality was there's grace for all of us, right? No matter where we've been, no matter what lack of potential we have fulfilled up to this point, Christ died on the cross so that we can know him at any point, right? This isn't an excuse to put it off. This isn't an excuse to say, 20 years from now, I'm going to start living right for God. No, but it is an excuse to say, right now, no matter what your past has looked like, God wants to move now in your life. So it's not like our grades, right? Grace is something completely different. As we kind of close, I want to end with this. We can all get pumped and excited about the beginning, right? About the possibilities. But it's really not about the beginning. It's really not. It's about the life lived and the ending. It was not cool for John to be different. It was not cool for John to be beheaded. And living up to our potential as Christians and as to what God can do within us means that we don't do it for any of that. We don't do for anything, whether it's comfortable or cool. We do it because we see the potential that God could do in our lives and what his reality coming to others could do. I don't know exactly what that looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like, but I am excited for it. I'm excited for hopefully what God is going to do in my life, for hopefully what God's going to do in your lives as you grow older, as you leave the youth group, as you leave town, as you go to school. And frankly, it's not because any of us in this room are special at all. None of us are all that special. If you look through the Bible and you look for verses that really pump man up, pump women up and say, we are awesome, you're not going to find them. And I would say the same thing through the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not because any of you are all that special. They're not that special, really. It's scary how quickly Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant are becoming irrelevant to a lot of people. Right? All that stuff fades away, but is special is God's power in us, right? The Holy Spirit working, his truth that lasts for all time. That is what's special. So I'm asking for a little introspection tonight, okay? Christ died on the cross so that we might have life and take it to other people. Are we doing that? Has that really captured our heart? When I first started in February, one of the most important things that Landry said to me when having a difficult conversation was that we're worth so much more than the things we're caught up in. That God had designed us for so much more than we're caught up in. And that had just stuck with me. And it always kind of comes back to that. We are worth so much more. God has invested in us his son, right? Christ died on the cross that we might have life and take it to others. That is worth quite a bit. So it's not because we are special, because what God is doing in us. So let me challenge you to this. Are we doing that? Are we just living this ho-hum existence, an average life, or are we taking the challenge that John the Baptist took and living life in relationship with God, taking it to others, and reaching our potential? Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to take a moment and ask for your blessing on our lives. God, none of us are perfect. You know that. We know that. We don't expect to be perfect, God, but we don't want to be living life like it's just meant to be spent on the couch and watching TV, God, but there's so much more. We were meant for more than that, Lord, and it's tempting to get comfortable. It's tempting to do what's comfortable and do what's easy, God, but John the Baptist didn't do what was comfortable, God. He got after it, Lord, and you moved in incredible ways in his life, Lord, and I believe and we believe that you can move in incredible ways in our lives. So God, we ask that you do that. Lord, we open ourselves up to that. In Jesus' name, amen.